Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life After Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am here. Hi, everybody. I'm so excited.
Now, today, our subject is going to be dating. And, you know, it's interesting is how you handle the dating world. This is a universally discussed topic. And before the show, you mentioned that, you know, like, I think this, even though not everybody falls into this demographic, it might be explanation. You asked, why is it that there's, you know, when do I tell a guy that I'm a Playboy playmate? Is that, you asked that question?
Well, here's the thing. I get a different reaction if we talk on the phone and they ask about me. Of course, Playboy was a big part of my life and what I do and how I still make my living. So it's hard not to mention it, but I don't think it is a good idea to mention it, because for some reason it really affects the person. Not that they think it's a bad image at all. They think it's too good of an image for them, that they don't deserve a Playboy playmate, because in their mind, most men have grown up with, this is a fantasy world. This is somebody that they can only view, that they cannot touch, that they cannot have. And so we come across a lot of men who get very intimidated by the fact that we are playmates. And so I choose not to, but then if they Google me, they're going to find out. I never Googled my dates prior. Do you, Johnny?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say Google what?
Well, it's not even about Googling your dates prior. You have Facebook. You've got all social media. All they need is their first and their last name, and then they know everything about you. So,
well, okay, yeah.
I cannot even control that part of it.
No, I mean, but this is what I say about that. I mean, you know, there's... I think that, you know, like to me, dating a Playboy playmate is kind of like the same thing as dating a Rhodes Scholar. Like, if I had, you know, a woman that was a Rhodes Scholar, I'd be asking myself, is she too smart for me? You know, or is she going to be somebody
that's horrible. To go into not feeling good enough to be with that person. That's not a good way to go into a first date, is it?
Right. And you also have to understand that, you know, I don't think that it should be a problem, because anybody that cares about who you are inside isn't going to care. But what I'm going to say is that I think that they usually take it as sort of, that's unusual, you know, which it is, but it's not bad or, you know, anything like that. It's just unusual.
On dates about it. I've had nightmare dates with this situation. I've had nightmare conversations. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Even in the previous conversation before the date. So maybe it is a good thing I tell them, so then I could weed them out. Okay, here was a nightmare. This girlfriend of mine said this guy would be just absolutely perfect for me. She just keeps seeing us together in her mind, and our personalities would totally click. So I talked to him on the phone, and that was one of the times where I couldn't get off the phone, where I wish that I would have had my theta healing at that point with my phone phobia, because I was on the phone for literally 2 hours, and all he asked was, do you know this person? Do you know that person? Well, I've been to the mansion. Well, I met that person at the mansion. Oh, you don't know that? How could you not know that person? Oh, I mean, like, he was like the Playboy almanac guy, And it just, it repelled me so much that the whole conversation became about Playboy and who do I know and do I, and he knows this one and that one and this information. And it was just such a huge turnoff that I never even talked to him again. And then if we do make it to the first date, we're at the table and the whole, well, what was Hugh Hefner like? You know what? What about me? What am I like? You know, that's the problem right there. It makes me so sick. My stomach.
It would be like dating a man who was the quarterback in the Super Bowl, you know, of a professional.
And that would be great. You know, I could. Yeah, you're right. It would be like that.
But
and that would be like me going on the dinner and only talking to him about his football accolades. A little bit's fine. That's cool. But you know what? What if he had to be bombarded with questions about, oh, I bet all the women are after you. Oh, wow. You know, why am I here? That would be such a major turnoff. And not only that, because I've dated and been engaged to high-profile actors, then if they find that out by looking me up, then all they want to say is, well, what are you here with me for if you've dated them? You know what I mean? And then they just want to show you their insecurities, so they're fishing for compliments on, like, no, you're great. Oh, it's okay. Yes, I've dated them, but you're just as good. And you know what? It just
Oh, I see.
So therefore, a lot of the playmates are dealing with this and then end up alone all the time because of it. And it's, you know, I'd rather, of course, be a playmate, but sometimes it can be a curse like that because people feel like they're not good enough to be with you. And we're just normal girls. We're normal women and ladies.
I think that's something
we just did.
If it makes you feel any better, I mean, I do think that some of the things that you talk about on the air is more attractive because, well, let me explain to you what I'm trying to say. You know, I told you this one time about the assumption that this is gorgeous, so therefore there's nothing inside, you know? There's outer beauty, but therefore there must not be any inner beauty, if that makes any sense. And the people who know that's not true. You know, they know that's not true. That's the thing, and it's sort of, it feels good, you know. That's why when I see you, you know, the whole something about Mary. I mean, you know, when I see you on the air, I know that you get a warm place in your heart whenever I say that, when I mention that movie, because it's like I'm not just talking about your outer beauty. I'm talking about the inner beauty aspect of it. And actually, it's sort of funny because, like, this isn't really so much about Mary, this is sort of a tangent, but I saw a one online, and do you remember, obviously you remember her brother, right?
Yes,
brother that was
of course.
Special. Well, what happened was that, isn't it with CBA Baseball, you know? Well, what happened was that they interviewed the actor that played him, and what happened was that when he was worried that when he did the role that people were going to see it as making fun of developmentally disabled people, you know, and basically he was really concerned about that. So he decided, you know, but then, you know, nothing happened. It just, you know, it was, and he said the reason why nothing happened was, well, he named several reasons, but one of the reasons was that the way she treated him was, it wasn't, you know, oh, I'm so sorry for you. It was, this is my brother, you know. And because he may be slow, you know, a little bit, but I'm not going to harp on those facts. He's my brother. That's who he is. And I love him. And that's sort of you in a way. That's sort of, you know, it's sort of like, that's why it feels refreshing when people see your inner beauty. because it's that's why I like the Playboy series, because it gives you a chance to say, listen, you know, Barb, I love you. I want you to be listened to. And that's why, yeah. You know, it's really great to be able to bring your friends on and say, we love you. We want you to be listened to. And I think that's great to give that to your friends, like Devin DeVasquez and Elke Jensen. And
mm-hmm. Which, and so you have done by bringing other Playmates on the show before I even came along, like Christine Richters and
Terry
who was the other?
You know,
Terry
Lynn. Well, see, that's the thing about Terry.
Terry,
you know, I mean, she talks about, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it does kind of bother me a little bit whenever I hear a Playmate say, oh, boy, that really changed my life, you know. And they talk about it almost like if they could do it over again, you know, would they do it? And you know, the one thing that you got out of it was that you really loved you. You know, it gives you a chance to really love yourself. And a woman who loves herself is, well, if you're in love with a woman, you don't want her hating who she is. You don't want her looking at herself with shame or with, and, you know, it's really sweet when a woman can love herself. And that's why nobody should ever do anything. Same thing, you know, Priscilla's going to be, 18 in a few years. And I hope when she's 18, you know, that she loves herself, that she doesn't, you know, think that I'm not worthy of this or I'm not worthy of that, or, you know, that she has enough love of herself to know that, you know, she shouldn't let a guy push her around, that she should not let a guy, you know, talk badly to her, that, you know, that if she likes a guy, you know, she likes him, but don't let him push you around. Because love yourself. And,
yes. Oh, I'm sure by seeing me, she will be on the right path with that, because it's all about women's confidence with me, and it's all about, oh, she sees that I have not put up with anything from anyone. So just by me being her mother, she will be okay. But I thank you.
Yeah.
And all this good stuff. But what do I do? Okay, what do I do, Johnny?
About
do I not tell
stuff?
Them and hope?
No,
yeah.
I think
do
you
I
should
not
tell
them.
But you gotta realize, I think you should tell them, but this is what I'm going to say. You're basically telling them a small story that's a part of a big story. I mean, and I think that, and certainly what they should do is they should realize that it's a small story that's a part of a big story that's not the whole story, if that makes any sense.
That's
because,
a good,
you know, it's,
advice
what?
To tell
yeah, because,
them that.
Because you see, like, okay, it's obviously, it's, you know, I sort of look at it as not, I'll give you an example. Like, Elke was on, and I think she talked about how when she was a Playmate, her mother was kind of nervous about it or something. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's a shame. It's a real shame because, you know, I'll tell you a different story. You know, Terry Lynn Doss, when she was on, she said that, you know, her parents, they took her issue and they put it on the coffee table for a year.
Oh, that's sweet. That made her feel good.
See,
that
yeah,
made her feel
right. See,
you know, except
right, right. Whereas there's some parents, it's kind of, you know, it's like, now, I mean, obviously she had to deal with certain things, like, for instance, you know, people were walking up to her brother and saying, is this your sister? And, you know, but, and I certainly wouldn't want to see my sister in Playboy, but I'm not that, you know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't want to see the picture.
Well, they can
okay.
have a copy of it, but it's not like they're looking at it, but it's a cool thing to have. It's a special, you know, memento. It's memorabilia.
Right.
It's not like they're opening it and looking at it. But, I mean, they're proud. Usually they're proud. I mean, it's very rare. But I do know Well, I don't want to get this whole subject off on the Playboy thing, so let's just, like, wrap it up after this one point. But there are a few playmates that I've known that didn't use their real name because they were just using it as paying up their college loans, or they were just doing it for the money, and they could do it for that. And that's so sad because all of those ones that changed their name and that's not their real name, I've never seen them again, except for, like, maybe in articles because of who they are. Like, one was an interior designer paying off her school loans, and she is doing fabulously. So for her, that was fine. But I think some of them who changed their names actually now regret it because they're not even reaping the benefits much from it.
Well, they're sort of not
enormous benefit.
They're not loving themselves. I mean, they're not loving themselves. There's not.
Yeah, they're acting like, okay, if I can't use my real name, then I'm doing something shameful. But it wasn't. And then they realize later, wow, I'm not ashamed of that. I should have used my real name. So that's really unfortunate for some of them who did that. I made a lot of them did that, Johnny. And that is too bad. But anyway, okay, so we got that down about whether or not to tell them. So say a friend introduces me to somebody, just use my first name, I will say, so they would never be able, it would be so nice to meet somebody who doesn't know that information about me, because then I know that they really love me for me, not like some would just love it. Oh, wow, I'm dating a Playboy playmate. Yeah. But wouldn't it be nice to really know if they love you for who you are inside? And also it goes both ways, though, because a lot of men, I asked this guy that I used to date when I was 21, so early on in my life, and he was 24, I always knew he was going to hit it big. Sure enough, he did. You know, I moved away, but we're still friends. You know, he's got a jet. He did amazingly well in the real estate business. And I asked him recently, do you ever wonder if the girl really likes you for you or for your money? He goes, that's the thing. I never know. And it's so sad, you know? So it goes both ways. Men
thing,
who are, yes, the money. It's like, do they want my money or do they want me?
Or another thing I've often wondered about with me, you know, is it sympathy? You know, when I tell them I'm disabled, there's a lot of...
Oh, really?
Well, you see, if I tell you that I have cerebral palsy, you're going to go online, you're going to Google it, you know, and then you're going to be like, okay. But it's not going to really tell you anything. The only reason I'm saying that is that there's so many different kinds. And one person can have cerebral palsy and talk to you like regular, but then not be in a wheelchair. And then there is another person who has cerebral palsy. Yeah. But then there may be other people that have cerebral palsy that sound like this, okay?
Yeah.
But then there may be other people that have cerebral palsy that can talk regular but are in wheelchairs. Then, you see what I'm saying? So it's not... The word cerebral palsy means brain paralysis. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, mm-hmm. that's very vague. I think the best thing that you can do with somebody dating a disability is don't be afraid to elaborate because, you know, it's – I honestly think, if you want to know the truth, and I don't know if I've said this on the air, but I'm going to go ahead and say this now – there's probably, especially true with being online, there's three things that people wonder about that they don't say to me. And they're too nervous about it because there's no real nice way to go about it. And they think, one, is the guy I'm talking to in a wheelchair? Two, is the guy I'm going to talk to have a long lifespan? Is he going to live past 50?
Yeah, they might
want to
know that.
That's
true.
Yeah, and three, is the guy I'm talking to impotent?
Well, that might be a big one, but that so many other people have that problem without cerebral palsy. So are they asking you this or wondering, or do you feel like you need to tell them?
You got to understand something. It's kind of like... how do you, in the most polite fashion, ask someone if they're going to have a regular lifespan? I mean, how do you go about asking that question? I mean, what?
But maybe that's unknown. I mean, can you? Is it that cut and dry that you just know that you could tell them the answer?
Oh, I could tell them the answer, but what I'm trying to say is, would you feel confident? See, I'm gonna have a regular lifespan, and I can say no on all the other things too. I mean, I've never had problems in those areas, but what I'm saying is that it's normal. To, like, if you're looking across, you know, and I've had that happen to me. They look at me and they think, are you going to, because seriously, how do you very nicely ask a man if he's not going to live to be 50? How would you, I mean, do you think you could do that? Like, how would you go about doing that?
Well, I would be able to just ask that, but that's a lot easier than asking about the impotency.
Yeah, or that, or, but, you know, I mean, I guess that you know, we're asking, you know, but see what I'm saying about the life expectancy. See, people confuse cerebral palsy with other diseases. Like, for instance, my girlfriend, fortunately for her, she's a nurse, so she was very intelligent at the time. But she told her mom, you know, that I have cerebral palsy. Well, the word cerebral palsy turned into cystic fibrosis.
Oh.
Okay. And see, that's the point. You need to realize that you can't just keep – you have to be able to be open about it, because otherwise these people are going to – a woman, like, I'm seriously, I've often wondered if at times, if, like, you know, in the retrospect, I've wondered if, is this woman being nice to me because she thinks I'm not going to live past 50, you know? And
no, she,
like,
could be thinking, oh my gosh, let's marry him so I can have an insurance policy, and that would be horrible. Have you ever thought of that?
I never thought of that, but I mean, it's kind of like, wow. I mean, you know,
That's a big one right there. They're thinking of that.
I mean, yeah. I would be
thinking about that. They are. You better be careful with that right there. A big one.
But I will tell you, life expectancy is something that I've, you know, like dating a woman with muscular dystrophy, you know, you think about life expectancy. You think, oh my God, is this woman going to be even be around in 10 years? You know, I mean,
these are deep questions. I mean, you're so interesting, Johnny, though, the way you dive deep into it, because it's like we're talking about dating tips and you're like talking about, wow, life expectancy. And I don't know if people are thinking about that on the first date. So we are both unique because they are with you, and they've got problems with me for other reasons.
It is something that you might be thinking about if you don't know anything about it. See, because like, here's what happens with me. I tell people that I have cerebral palsy, okay? And then, you know, if they really care about me, here's what happens. The next phone call is, I have some questions about it. And then they usually do this. Like, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but, you know, how are you going to live? You know, how long are you going to live? And it is true that, you know, the people with cerebral palsy do have extreme situations. I'm not in one of those cases. I mean,
but that's okay, Johnny, because you know what? If they're asking you how long you're going to live, that they must care about you.
Yeah, that's true.
They're thinking insurance policy stuff.
Well, that's true, but or somebody may ask, I think, you know, like I, okay, a good example of somebody that may care about you, okay, they may ask you this question of, you know, do you feel safe? Do you ever have problems with feeling safe when you tell people you're a playmate? Because,
well, yeah, plus you don't want to dump your problems on. You do not want to dump your problems, like talk about your stalker, talk about your exes, talk about your problems on the first date at all.
But then there's also, you may feel like you don't have anybody to listen to. Like, I mean, okay, like, for instance, I know that there are men, and I'm going to say who they are, that have taken the fact that you are a playmate and then turned it into some kind of trophy. Like, and usually what I've seen them do this. You've seen this one person do this. They mentioned you, and then they mentioned two of your friends, all of them happen to be playmates. You know, and it's almost like they treated them like some war trophy that they put on their wall. And I mean, I'm sure you know the guy I'm talking to that did this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, you're not a trophy. I mean, I know what they're doing, and I know why they did it. I mean, you know, it was because you were a playmate. And your two friends, I won't mention their names out of respect for them, you know, making all sorts of lies about them and everything. And you don't you're not a trophy. You're a person. Now,
you know what was so funny, though? Oh, my gosh. That's true. But you know what's so funny is this one girl I was I started dating this guy. And she was mad because that was her ex-boyfriend, but I wasn't her friend, just an acquaintance, so I had no loyalty. And she told him something about me that was a funny story, but it was like a funny kind of sexy story. And he actually turned him on. It made him like me more. Ha ha ha. So isn't that funny?
Really?
She tried to sabotage it, and it turned out to backfire because it made him want me even more. That was great. Yeah, that was good. Hey, Johnny, that was deep and something for all of the listeners to think about.
Okay.
But I want to ask you, should you kiss on the first date? And how, if the answer is yes, should it be a make-out kiss or should it be a little peck?
Well, I think that is a body. That's a nonverbal question, nonverbal communication question. I mean, but I do think they say like you lean in a little bit and then the person leans in a little bit and then then suddenly it leads to a kiss is what I think happens.
That's
good.
I think that's good.
But
I don't think that, if you want to, I think a first little peck at the end of the evening, if you like the person, is a very good thing to do. And what everything I've read says that's good, that's okay to do. And so you're saying you should attempt, which means your answer is yes, you should kiss on the first date. Okay. Second question. Okay. What do you think about when you're out with a woman and she is ordering something? Does that make you feel like you know a little bit more about her? Say she just picks at her food, she's eating a little salad, or she orders something that's very wonderful and enjoys it. I have read that is telling a man a lot of things about you, like you're not able to enjoy fun thoroughly if you just are so strict about your eating. What would you as a man think? Does that have an effect on you?
No, it wouldn't bother me at all if you ordered something. You know, it wouldn't bother me at all. It would just, but I don't know what it would necessarily tell me about her, though. But I wouldn't have a problem with what she ordered.
What if she ordered the most expensive thing on the menu, which says on the menu market price, like a lobster? Would you feel like you were being used?
That's a good question.
I would, and I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that unless the man said, I don't care. Order whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Then I would. But to do that, you know, okay, say you order the lobster, you order the surf and turf market price lobster. Plus, before that, you have also an appetizer that is like the steak tartare, like, or, you know, the most expensive foie gras on escargot to start with. On the menu, I mean, your bill could be like $500, and she wants $500? The most expensive champagne, then she wants to change to wine, but before that, she has the $22 cocktail. Like, how would that make you feel?
That would scare me to death.
They do that.
At a $500 restaurant before. What?
Oh, God, I've been to thousands of sit-down dinners. What are you talking about? Of course I have, but oh, my gosh, Johnny, on a first normal date, to do that to a man, I don't think it's right. And because, you know, I have a brother, and he works very hard for his money. And, you know, when martinis are $22 a pop, I mean, that's expensive. But you really like the girl, and she expects that, and she wants it. That could be a
big problem. Please
don't
take me to any
restaurant
like that when I go see you with May. Please don't do that. We're going to go to the Four Seasons, okay, now, Johnny, okay, yeah, all right, bring a bunch of your friends, it's lobster for everybody.
Yes, and I've had the man, okay, say there's like a group of friends, and then one of the girls orders that, what I just told you, and then they later, the man tells me, oh my goodness, she ordered that. That was pushing it with the entree, but then she ordered the appetizer that was like the most expensive thing. I mean, I thought that was rude, he told me. And I never told her that because I knew that that would cause a big argument between those two friends. And obviously he told me that in confidence, but I know that to be true that women do that to men. They actually get on dating sites to just get dinners. They don't even care about the guy. So, warning out there, that's happening. That's going on. And that exists. So, beware of that. So, I am trying so hard on this series that we're putting out there for our listeners and trying so hard to help. So, just by letting them know what's out there, exposing that, what I've experienced, that helps. And maybe they can relate to your problems, what you're experiencing, and my problem, what I'm experiencing. Maybe they're not a playmate, but maybe they are what you're saying, you know, high up in the education, big career woman that might really intimidate a man. So you know what? That's why also that men put us in a category saying, well, playboy, playmates, they only want to date, like what you were saying before we went on, football players and you know, football stars and, you know, rock stars. Well, yeah, you know why? Because the rest of you are too intimidated. And maybe if you got that out of your brain and just treated us like we're normal human beings and normal women who just want a loving relationship, and that's not what we're looking for, maybe we could have you. Maybe you could have us. But you put a stigma on it, and you stamp us with that. And that is so wrong because now that's our only choice. Now all we can do is go out with the Hollywood actor and the football star and this. You know what? That sometimes isn't always so easy because we're moms. We might be single moms like me. Priscilla's father passed away when she was two. You know, we don't have options like that because we're working our butts off at home and we are taking care of our child. We're not going out to the football field and saying, hey, look at me, pick me, choose me, hello. We don't have those options. So you know what? Stop it. Stop putting the stigma on models, actresses. Start just being real and expecting real in return.
Well,
and maybe then you might get lucky in love.
Do you remember when Claudia Schiffer dated David Copperfield?
Yes. I have a story
and
about
everybody
that.
Said that.
Oh, my God.
What?
I have a major story about that.
What's your story?
You know, I had a date with David Copperfield myself.
What's he like?
You know, I was probably 17, maybe 16 and a half, still in high school. And my girlfriend and I went to Tacoma, Washington. We were living in Seattle. And we drove into Tacoma to watch his show. And we were sitting in, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 rows back. He kept staring at me when he was doing his show. And afterwards, there was somebody that came up to us and said, oh, well, I have somebody who would like to meet you. And we said, who? Well, David Copperfield himself wanted to meet me. So we went up to the after party, the suite and all that. He had no idea I was underage, okay? And I'm going to leave it at that. But years later, Playboy was in Vegas, and they brought like 10 Playmates, or maybe 20, 30. You know how we always did the Vegas thing, the Wet and Wild parties, and had the huge, big event. And then David Copperfield was the person who was the other part of the entertainment. We were all going to that. And at the after party there, I thought, this is going to be interesting to see if he even recognizes me, because, you know, I mean, I change a lot from a little 16-year-old to a 25, 26-year-old woman, you know, hair color, just different. You just look different. And, you know, I said, I've already met you. And then it was quite interesting because he said, you know, they take a half a step back and something clicks in their brain and then their mind starts reeling. And then you give them a little bit of something that only you could know about them. And then they take 2 steps back and they're like, whoa. And I said, and did you know I was only 16? Whoa. And I love that moment, Johnny. That was hilarious. That was a funny moment right there, because they just realized they could have maybe gone to jail.
Oh, well, one of the things that I remember about the whole David Copperfield, Claudia Schiffer thing is when it came out, the news was like, okay, every time models date someone, it's always a football player or a rock star. They don't date magicians. Is that true?
Well, what about a lot of Playmates date actors, and some actually, which I've never even liked. I modeled so much throughout the years in catalogs with male models, but I've never liked them ever, because there's something about that where they're always thinking about how they look and their appearance. I prefer a man that doesn't care so much about looking in the mirror about all of that stuff, but some go for it. Some love it. Some have dated the Chippendale dancers and all of that. But, you know, everybody's different, and that's why you cannot put the tag on somebody. You cannot stereotype somebody. That may be completely different than who that person is. So, no. But if there's a football player out there that asks me out, maybe we'd hit it off. But it's not going to be me being with them just because of the fact that they're a football star. That would definitely not be me. It is with some, but that's, I think it's pretty easy to weed that out. I just don't like being stereotyped prior to the date or in the middle of meeting, finding out something about them or me, each other. And then that stereotypical thing just goes off in their head and it's ruined. This is wrong. I want to say this is wrong right now. everybody's an individual with so many different facets of their life that is special. And you know what? Let it be. Stop with the stereotyping. Stop with the getting intimidated by a title. It's just a title. It's just something that we've done that we are experiencing and we're still enjoying. That's fine. If you can't handle that, you're not the right person for me. But don't let your own brain and your own sabotage it before it could even begin. That is probably the point, the biggest point I'm trying to make in this episode tonight. Right there. People, stop doing that to others. It is hurtful, and it's not going to get you anywhere.
Yes, true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you, but let me ask you this. I mean, do you find that people associate a certain personality to certain things, like, for example, football players, rock stars, and actors?
Well, actors usually generally stick with actors because they understand each other. So, I don't know. That's what my dad always told me. And I've gone out with a couple actors. Actors don't really care if you're an actor too, the ones that I've been with. They always try to help me, but see, it just goes back to what I just said. Everybody is different. It doesn't, you can't put the tag on it. Okay, I'm dating an actor, so now what do I expect? It's the person. I mean, look at, there's so many actors out there that have just normal wives that don't act, not in show business, at home. They've been with for years and it's lasted. So I mean, to answer your question, you can't answer that. You can't answer the question. You cannot put somebody in a category of stereotypical category. You can't do that. I say it's wrong. So why are you asking me even the question? I don't even get the question,
well,
actually.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, what do people assume? Not necessarily that it's
assume.
Right. But what do people assume? Like, you know how you're saying that people make an assumption about playmates? People might make the assumption
yes.
about football players.
Okay, football players, also actors, also rock stars. They're assuming, number one, the biggest assumption is they're a player. Do you know what a player is?
Yeah.
Somebody that cheats on. Because they're traveling and they get a lot of attention from the opposite sex. So that's what maybe, I haven't even thought about, that's what probably they assume with me. It's scary because if they are putting a tag on me like that, they're thinking, well, all the men are falling at her feet, so she's probably going to end up cheating on me. So therefore, it's scary. It's too scary for them to date me because they're thinking of what could happen. So therefore, they've sabotaged even the chance of having something that could have been wonderful. And that's bad. Very
mm-hmm.
sad. Don't you think, Johnny, do you agree that that is sad?
That's very sad. I mean, you said that you were in love about a year ago, am I right?
You are right.
Yeah.
Yes, Johnny, you are right. And it had nothing to do with careers, had nothing to do with what the person does, had done, what I do. It was about two people who knew each other for a very long time and that loved each other, but that maybe the relationship just together to have the union wasn't going to work. But sometimes you realize that, and that's okay.
No.
And that's fine
without naming
to explore
it. No, without naming the person's name, what was the ending? what made it end?
Well, I think that age, I think that time, that what they had gone through before, I think with child rearing was over for that person, and it is in the middle with me. And for them, they put restrictions on themselves of what they were going to be able to accept and handle. And I sure don't want a person who is making, quote, unquote, an exception for me in that area. I want somebody who's going full force in loving that I have a child, loving that that's going to be a part of their life, embracing that. And so thank you to that person for letting me know that really right up front, because then I didn't waste any more time. And it really wasn't a hurtful second breakup, because it just was an honest, basically honest. Not always is the person going to do it the way that you think would be the perfect way to end something. Who cares? I mean, let it go. Move on. Next, like the song is saying, next. But still, you know what? A person isn't always going to say the perfect thing or end it the perfect way. It's not a perfect world. But are we going to hate that person forever? Are we going to go bash that person and to our friends and say negative things? No. Maybe your best friend's going to, you know, get an earful. But don't do that. What's the point? Just move on. It's a learning experience. Try to remember the good. Because there were good times. There was a lot of great times. And you know what? The most important thing, did you learn something from it? And I learned a lot from it. And did you gain anything from it? I gained a lot from that. I gained this. And I'll tell you right now what I gained from that. I gained having absolutely no regrets in life. Because 15 years prior, and what I had lived with for 15 years was a regret. Like, gosh, I wish I would have done something differently, because the outcome would have been so different in my life. Now, going back to it and then it ending again made me realize that person is not my end all person. That person is a good friend. Now I have zero regrets in life. And it was such a freeing feeling. It was such an empowering feeling to learn that. So that was one of the biggest learning lessons I've ever had in my life. So that's just a wow. And I cannot, unfortunately, give all of the details today here in this hour, but a book will be coming out, I'm sure, because everybody's like, Barbara, you've got to write a book. And that's going to be a very good chapter. And it's not going to be a chapter of what I just said, negative and, you know, saying mean things about a person. It's going to be a chapter where it's going to be interesting and people are going to relate to it or be inspired by it, or they're just going to be entertained by it. Big deal. But I am not on this earth to hurt people. I know since I got on this show with you almost a year ago, this has given me a purpose, and my purpose on this earth is to help people and to love people and to enjoy getting love back. And my purpose is to be the best I can be. And one of the things I am is a mom, and I strive to be the best, but I'm not. I am not always. I'm only human, but I strive to be, and that's all we can do. So I'd say when you're going into dating, you're going into it, okay? Don't Google, don't Facebook it, don't research it. Just show up. Put your fresh, nice, but casual outfit on. Go with an open mind. Act like you don't know anything about this person. Just see what happens. Just do that. That's my dating tip for the day.
Because you may not know everything just because you Google someone that doesn't tell them everything at all, right?
Yeah, Google. I mean, they've got a lot of things wrong. They, you know what? That might be a moment in somebody's life where they may have done an interview, and the interview wasn't something that went the way they wanted. And now, every single time they go on a date, they have to worry about that. I don't worry about that. There's so much in my 27, 28 years of being in the entertainment business. If somebody wants to go by that and think they know me, they've got a lot to learn, because that's one little thing that has been written by somebody who doesn't even know me that published something, whatever. So, and then you saying cerebral palsy, somebody goes and looks that up. I'm sure a million people are listening right now, went and did just that. Guess what? I did it too. There's not one thing on there about impotence. Not one symptom of impotence. That's your head. Just now while we were on the phone on the show.
Yeah. All right.
And that's the only time I've ever looked it up, by the way. You think everybody's looking it up? They're not. I've known you for a year. I've never even looked it up.
Yeah.
I love that don't look things up before. I love the people out there that don't Google, don't Facebook, don't research the person they're dating for the first time. I love those people. Those are the people who are confident and open and, like, just want to know for themselves, because those are the people who actually believe in their own self, because they don't have to rely on other things that have been written. They're going to rely on their own self. They're going to make their own decisions. Those are the people I respect.
That's true. Well, we're almost out of time. Would you like to do the shout out?
Yes, I would. I would love to do the shout out. Okay. So thank you, Johnny. You really hit on a lot of great points tonight, and I love always talking to you about the subject. It gets really intense, doesn't it, with us? So that's amazing. Not just a bunch of fluff over here at Life, Laughter, Happiness, you guys. It's interesting. It's deep, and there's a lot of points that we cover. And so we really hope that you enjoyed this show. And thank you for listening. And if you would like to listen to this show again, go to Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube channel. And while you're there looking at all of our other shows, please don't forget to subscribe, because that will only help support us. And we are grateful for that. And also, we're on Twitter and Instagram, and we have a Facebook page. And on that Facebook page and group page, we always put the link to our show on there, so it's easy to find. So just do that. And we will be waiting to hear from you, because we love it. We love hearing from you. So what do we have going on tomorrow? Tuesday. What do we have tomorrow?
Oh, that's right. We have Rebecca Fearing, psychic Rebecca Fearing.
Oh, wow. That'll be fun. Psychic night is always so fun for everybody. And so we welcome callers on that night. So we go on 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. And that's when we take all our callers and we give free readings. And these things aren't cheap, are they? I remember my friends, they would say, Barbara, let's go to a psychic. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to, you know, that's like, you know, $100 to $400 an hour. Well, on Life, Laughter, Happiness, guess what? It's complimentary. So thanks, Johnny. I love you so much. And thank you for all the hard work you do with the show every single day. And we love all of our followers and we love our listeners. And we can't wait to talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Well, good night. Good night, Barbara.
Good night, Johnny. Good night, everybody.